I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, and archived on TVTimeMachine.com.
Hey, everybody, I'm Matt Rogers, and I'm proud to be here at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, surrounded by some of the bravest men and women I've ever had the pleasure to meet. These are some of the soldiers and families of the 101st Airborne Division, the Screaming Eagles. And this is Coming Home.
We're back again with Matt Rogers, host of Coming Home, whose second season premiere airs Sunday, March 11th at 10 p.m. on Lifetime Television, right here on the TV Time Machine. Matt, I know we touched upon it a little bit earlier, but tell our audience the exact premise of Coming Home.
The exact premise of Coming Home is honoring our servicemen and women and their families by bringing home their deployed soldier or sailor early and surprising the kids, the wife, the mom, the dad, bringing our servicemen and women home early and surprising their families, not just at their house, but on a very, very big stage. The premiere episode, which is going to premiere on March 11th, Dad has been deployed in Afghanistan for 12 months. He's been away from his family. And his favorite football team of all time is the Oakland Raiders. Never been to a Raider game, never even come close to Raiders, but we fly him into Oakland, we fly his family into Oakland. Dad goes, meets the head coach, all of the players, and I tell the kids, hey, we're going to honor your dad that's in Afghanistan. And at halftime, the two sons are going to kick a field goal to participate in our field goal challenge. Well, what they didn't know was the Raider, who was full-on dressed up as a Raider, holding the football for them, was their dad.
Wow.
So they kick the football, and at the height of it all, in front of 84,000 people, I say, you know, these kids love their dad and love what they do and love what he does, but they hate that he's so far away. Well, kids, he's a lot closer than you think. And they start looking around like, what are you talking about? And the whole crowd's going crazy. And I say, please welcome home in a surprise return from Afghanistan. And he takes his helmet off on the 50-yard line, and the kids just lose it.
Well, Matt, in the debut episode of Coming Home, you met the Redding family, and you helped reunite First Lieutenant Chris Redding, who was returning from Iraq, with his young son, David, in a most unique fashion, as we'll hear in this clip.
What's it going to be like for you to see your husband and son reunited?
It makes my heart melt. It makes me just get teary-eyed thinking about it, because I'll get scared at home and
if I hear anyone knock on the door, and I'm not expecting anyone, I fear so much that it's going to be someone in uniform telling me that he's not coming home.
Well, the good news is he is coming home.
Yeah.
And he is safe. In terms of David, he has to be pretty excited that his dad's coming home.
I haven't told him that his dad's coming home.
How come?
I just figured we'd surprise him.
That's what I'm talking about, sister. We will surprise him.
Okay, I love this family. How can you not? And all this sword fighting stuff is awesome. We've got to reunite David and his dad in a way that would make Sir Lancelot envious.
Matt, obviously on Coming Home, you've met a lot of military families. Is there a common denominator among the families you've dealt with over the past two seasons?
A lot. One that's sticking out off the top of my head is the worry that goes on with these families when mom or dad is gone, the constant anxiety, not being able to sleep at night. And it's something that I really can't do justice in explaining. I don't even think I understand it, even though I've done this now 26 times with 26 different families, is that at the end of the day today, you and I are going to get in our cars, we're going to drive home, we're probably going to eat a nice dinner, and we're going to lay in our nice bed, and we're going to go to sleep. And the truth is that they are going to literally sleep, some of our guys, in a dirt ditch surrounded by gunfire, like surrounded by people trying to take their life and kill them. And they're doing it for you and me so that you and I can, you know, eat our chicken pot pie tonight and sit down and watch The Voice or American Idol and kiss our wives goodnight and lay down with our kids and give them baths and relax tonight, whether we're going, I mean, and that's the reality that they all share, is that my husband's doing this for me and he's doing it for you, because if not him, then who? And if not now, then when? And I have to sleep by myself tonight worrying if I'm going to get that call tomorrow or that knock on the door. Like, that doesn't even register with me. Like, I can't imagine waiting for, what if someone knocks on my door and tells me my wife's not coming home? Like, that's just crazy to me. I mean, you know, God forbid, you know, the unforeseen, like a car accident or something like that, and you get that knock and that completely levels you, but you don't see that coming.
Right.
Imagine sitting with that for 365 days, like, oh my God, is today my day?
Right, constantly hanging over you.
Yeah.
Right.
I can't imagine, and that's the common denominator they all share, is that emptiness, that loneliness, that fear of, is this what the rest of my life is going to look like because my husband's not coming home, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's the pure definition of the term sacrifice.
Oh, 100%, yeah. One show that completely, I mean, it sounds so cliche, but it's true, I have to say it, that completely changed my life was the episode 4 when we honored a fallen soldier. He was combat control, Mark Forrester, in the Air Force, and I met his parents, and we filmed with them in November, and he had given his life in September. And I was literally standing in his room that was untouched, and his mom was crying her eyes out. And she would open a jar that had his headband in it, and she would smell it because it still had his smell. And she had lost her 24-year-old son, you know, 6 weeks before I got there. And I was literally in the process of going through that with them, and that was tough. And it's just, you know, can you bear that? Can you bear the prayers of, you know, God, bring my son home safely, and your son doesn't come back safely? It's kind of like, can you carry that cross? You know what I mean?
Right.
That one was tough, but I was so proud to do it. It was just mixed emotions, and that one got me for sure.
Well, that was the episode that involved a Marine pilot by the name of Frank Lott, I believe his name was.
Frank Lott.
What was that story, and what did Frank do for that family?
The best way I could explain it as fast as possible is that Frank Lott was a Marine that flew planes, and Mark Forrester, who passed away, was an Air Force guy who was on the ground sending signals to where the Taliban and where the Al-Qaeda was. Well, basically, over a two-year period, Frank Lott, who flew the planes, would get the coordinates on where the Al-Qaeda and the Taliban was from Mark Forrester, who was a combat controller on the ground. So Mark Forrester was on the ground, and he would say, you know, some along the lines of, you know, hey, here are the coordinates. There's 50 Taliban here. You know, come here and drop a bomb on them. We need to get rid of these guys. We're trapped. So he would send the thing to his buddy, Frank Lott. Well, throughout the 2 years in the military, you can't say your name over radio. So one guy was JAG-28, and the other guy was MAC-13, and that's how they knew each other for 2 years, and they worked together constantly for 2 years. So needless to say, they built this bond, this relationship, over the radio, and they didn't know who each other was. So one day, Mark Forrester says, hey, I'm in trouble. There's 3 different units that are trapped, and the guy flying the plane, Frank Lott, said, I only have 2 planes. And Mark said, well, go save the other 2 units. I'll hold these guys off as long as I can. He said, well, I can't have another plane there for another hour and a half. And he said, well, I'll do my best to hold them off. And literally, it's like, I'm hoping they make a movie out of it, because literally 5 minutes before his buddy shows up to take care of everything, it's complete radio silence. And the last thing he hears from his buddy, Mark Forrester, was, I need you now, I need you now, I need you now. And then,
wow.
And he was 5 minutes too late, and Mark lost his life. So Frank wanted to find out who he was. He found out who he was, and he brought home the flag that was flying over his plane the day their son was gunned down. And so I was a part of reuniting the pilot who worked with their son for 2 years. And it was deep, man. It was just awesome. It was powerful.
Well, another one of the precious moments on your show, an extraordinary moment, was when high school football player J.J. Rutledge received the surprise of his life on National Signing Day when his father, Jerry, unexpectedly returned from Afghanistan to join his son on that momentous day.
That's my boy!
I told him I missed him a lot, and he was like, I know, buddy. He was like, I'm proud of you. But the hug itself said a lot more than what we said.
National Signing Day was one of the best days of my life. I was just beside myself with joy that morning to come out and to have my son signing with the United States Naval Academy. The words can't even express how I think proud doesn't even do it justice.
I definitely like to thank my parents for keeping me on the right track.
Y'all made a dream come true for me.
God bless you, son.
I'm so thankful for y'all, because I won't let y'all down to the next level, I promise. I promise with all my heart I'm not gonna let y'all down.
Matt, tell us about that story.
That was awesome, because, you know, I'm a football guy.
Exactly.
This kid was good, man. He was so fast, and he just had such a great attitude. And his dad, his dad's slogan was, "That's my boy!
Right.
That's my boy!" And that's what he would scream throughout the whole stands. You know, there was 1,000 people in the stands, and you heard one voice, and it was dad's voice screaming, "That's my boy!" So for 3 years of his high school career, he's had his dad in the stands, and then going into his senior year, dad wasn't there because he was deployed. So needless to say, the kid was a stud, had multiple scholarship offers, and to make his dad proud, he went to sign with the United States Naval Academy. And for the people who don't know it, signing day is a huge national day for high school football kids. It is, you know, basically the world of college football stops for these high school recruits, and it's a big deal. So dad was in Afghanistan. We brought him home for signing day. So right as JJ signs the papers, like, I'm joining the United States. I've decided to sign with the United States Naval Academy. Right as he's signing, all you hear is someone scream, "That's my boy! That's my boy!" And he looks around like, what the heck? And he sees his dad,
right,
and he just loses it. And, I mean, everybody does. Like, I mean, you could tell. I get emotional talking about it. And that was 15 months ago. And it was just, it was awesome.
I know.
That's completely awesome.
I mean, I've seen that clip now dozens of times, and it gets you every single time, because there's something about your dad, you know, and to have your dad there at that moment when he didn't think his dad was going to be there, that's just everything.
Oh, yeah. It's, I don't know, awesome is the only thing I could say. It's just a pleasure to be a part of this stuff.
Well, Matt, we're going to have to take a little break, but we'll be back in a moment with Matt Rogers, host of Lifetime Television's Coming Home, who is traveling with us on the TV Time Machine.